Very different parables. They weren't even really much alike, but they were all the same subject. It was about the kingdom and how he is the king of the kingdom and how we are part of that kingdom and we get to do things with him. I thoroughly enjoy it. The Lord and I have talked about this a lot. I'm looking forward to being able to do things with him down in the Blue Ridge. We're going to light that place up for Jesus. I don't know. It's going to be fun. When we come to the book of Matthew, the 13th chapter, we find all kinds of things about the parable of the sower. And that would be us. We must realize that you can never get tired of sowing the seed. Not everything works out the same. Everybody doesn't receive it the same. People say, well, I'm not going to do this anymore because the last guy I talked to, he didn't follow the Lord anyway after a few weeks. Yeah, well, the Lord told us that. So you can't give up just because someone didn't follow through with their walk in Christ. So you got to keep on with what was God wanting you to do. And that's what that whole parable is about. We know that the seed fell on good soil, some of it, and produced greatly. Some fell amongst weeds. You've all met those people who receive Christ, look like really good things are happening, and next thing you know, they're off doing something, and next thing you know, you may see him once after that, and then after that, you may see him once again, and then you never see him again. The things of this world just choke them out, and they just can't handle all that's going on, and they make a choice. Somebody responded on Facebook to a friend of mine, and I rarely respond to these kind of things. I mostly just go, but this guy said about, I don't need to go to church to be the church. Boy, you can't argue that point at one aspect, but on the other, so I just said chapter and verse. Give me a chapter and verse for that. I can give you a chapter and verse why you should, but you can't give me a chapter and verse why you don't. Yeah, I didn't hear back from him. So the Bible talks about that there's certain kinds of soil. There's those that find Christ their Savior, and they're so ecstatic, and they're so excited, and but it doesn't last but a day. You see him again shortly after, and it's all over. Hi, Pastor. The Foursquare pastors from Milwaukee made it a point to come up here, so glad seeing you. Another one is the 24th chapter, or 24th verse of the same chapter. He talks about the tares. You know, Satan will always send tares. They'll come right in the midst of us, and you can recognize a tare because that's what they just create havoc. There's always something stirring wherever those people are. They got something going. They always got something going. You know, I really didn't like the way the pastor wore his tie. That's a nice tie. Thank you, Ella. I told her I can go get my own now. I'm closer. I'm closer to that place than she is now. It was outside of Dolly Parton's place. No, not really. Close. Lord's done all kinds of things in our life, and we just need to accept the fact that there's going to be tares amongst us. Just don't overly associate with them. Don't give them the cold shoulder. Don't speak evil things. Just don't get overly involved with them. I don't have time to do anything but lead people to Jesus, people. What else are you going to do? If you get caught up in all this mental gymnastics, you're going to find yourself losing out on the joy, and the joy is leading people to Jesus. That's what we were commissioned to do. I never want to lose out on that commission. You know, if we didn't have this building, it wouldn't change a whole lot. We'd have to still lead people to Jesus. Next thing is, he talks about the mustard seed. Verse 31 and 32. Parable is, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, and which indeed is the least of all the seeds. It was a tiny little one. But when it grew, it is greater than the herbs and became a tree, so that the birds of the air came and nested in its branches. You don't know who amongst us is the mustard seed. I mean, a unique individual that God will marvelously and mightily use. I was reading the story again of Brother Branson. Did I say that right? Branham. Thank you, learned my historian. Brother Branham, he was the quietest church mouse you ever wanted to be around. When he spoke very, very quietly. But miracles took place. Unbelievable miracles took place. He would tell people, the Lord would show him pictures in his and he went to this person's house. And they asked him if they would pray for his son. And his son was an absolute complete physical wreck. Didn't have long to live. And he said to him, would you pray for my son? And he said, okay, bring him to me. He said, they brought him to him. And he said he was this frail, little fragile little thing that didn't have much life in him. So I held him and I prayed for him. And he got worse immediately. You know why? Because everything he saw in that vision wasn't in the room. He said, when God gives you a vision, you wait for the whole vision to be ready and there when you do what God told you to do. He said there was a person that was supposed to have been standing over there in the doorway. That was part of my vision. So he said, I felt really bad, and the kid lived through the night, which was amazing. And the next day, he was there, and he asked the parent, do you still believe that God uses me? And he says, yes, I do. He says, well, we weren't supposed to have prayed the other night. And he said, but we can pray now. That lady's standing in the door. He didn't know her. And as soon as they took that little baby again, spoke the name of Jesus over that baby, he was instantaneously healed. Don't get in a hurry to fulfill what God showed you. Make sure that all the parts are there. If he shows you a dream, follow the dream, but make sure it's all there. I think many times we get discouraged because we become self-willed. We do things what we think needs to be done before we're supposed to have been done. So I want to encourage you. God will use all of you and any of you to do marvelous things. Just do it in his plan time. I have been in hospital rooms where people were expecting me to do something, but I didn't feel like it was time. So I practiced the ministry of sitting. I just wait, and then someone often will come, and God's been waiting on them. And when they come, we pray, and God does something wonderful. We know about the story of the leaven. You know, people often interpret leaven as being evil, but actually in one place it's recorded as good. The idea is it permeates. And we as God's kids, as we proclaim his message throughout this area, his word will just permeate this area. And things that could have been done wasn't done because there was something resisting it. Angels of God are here right in this room right now. And it resists certain things. And when we walk down the street, those angels are going with us. We're never out of the presence of the Lord. So remember that when you decide to do something stupid. Because he's reporting it. There's no such thing as getting away with it. Not with God. You don't get away with anything. So you might as well go ahead and do what's right. If you do stupid, repent immediately. The Bible talks about a hidden treasure in verse 44. Oh, folks, you never know what God has inside of you. I'm still discovering that. I tell people all the time, one of the greatest things in life is to get to know who God created you to be. You've never met yourself. Isn't that weird? You just lived out what you thought everybody else was doing, and so you're doing that, and that's who you are. I've had people tell me things like that all the time. Well, that's just who I am. Well, if it doesn't glorify God and it's not biblically sound, then you're lying. You believed a lie. That's not who you are. That's who you perceive yourself to be. But that's not who you are. Who you are is an awesome creature. Can you imagine God Almighty, that mind that he has, create something really dumb? How can God, who is holy and righteous and just and smarter than anything, create anything other than the same as him? There's hidden treasures in us that we have yet to find. Keep seeking. Keep seeking. God will fill you with all kinds of awesome insights. Bible talks about the pearl of great price. He talked about the dragnet, and I'm going to end with that. Verse 47. And again, the kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet that was cast into the sea and gathered some of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to shore, and they sat down and gathered the good into the vessels, but threw the bad away. So it will be at the end of the age. Those angels will come forth and separate the wicked from the good, the just, and cast the unjust into a furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Verse 52, therefore, every scribe instructed concerning the kingdom of heaven is like a household who brings out the treasure, new and old. Don't be afraid of the past. The church is here a lot longer than we've been around. 2,000 years the church has been here. The Old Testament church, 4,000 before them. They looked differently. They sang differently. They talked a little different. But they were God's kids. And that's when people say, well, I don't like that. Well, really? Those that came out of a Lutheran background, some of you liked some of those really old Lutheran church hymns. They really spoke to you. Some of you came out of a Catholic background. And some of those songs that they sang really ministered to you. Others came from all kinds of backgrounds. And they were all perfectly beautiful. Now today, every generation creates its own sounds. So we have all these new sounds today, which goes to this generation. But don't make it one generational. There are many generations here. I grew up in the Four Square Church in Rylander, and we sang all those hymns until Ralph Michael came and started writing some strange music. I was in college when some of his songs came out, and I thought, I don't know. Man, that's nothing like a hymn. This guy is really different. But about 2 years, it grew on me, and I kind of like that stuff. So, you know, some of you are singing songs that actually were sung in the bars that was just redone. Yeah, people didn't know any other songs, so they just made up words to the bars. People knew those songs. Great revivals broke forth using what people knew, and they sang, with such joy. Sister McPherson, as we lovingly call her, she got saved. The only thing she knew was ragtime. So when she played the piano, those hymns sounded a little different. It was ragtime hymns. And people would sing, and it was a happy, and they clapped, and they shouted unto the Lord. It was a great time. So don't box God into a box the size of us, because that's pretty small. Well, we're going to conclude with praying for people, and Beth and I are going to stand here. And what I would like is for all of those, and the largest percentage of them aren't here, all of those that I have led to Christ, influenced you. Maybe one time you served the Lord and you weren't serving the Lord and you came back to the Lord. I want you to come forward and we're going to pray with you. Okay. You going to come?
You're my favorite people.
Yeah. There's probably at least another 15 that we have personally led to the Lord that's lived somewhat in the area. Some have moved on to other places. But they're very special people. And, you know, they'll always be part of your life. You can't change that. So we just want to thank the Lord for these people and all of those that aren't here that were part of that. Lord, we just thank you. Thank you, Lord, for all the blessing of the Holy Spirit has poured into them. Lord, I ask that they will serve you forever with vigor.
Yes, Father.
Lord, unapologetically, we will serve you, Lord, and be busy about our Father's business. For this I give you thanks, and we bless them in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Love you.
Take care of that finger.
Yeah. Thanks again, Mike, for taking a chance on me.
You're welcome.
Beth, thanks for all your help and stuff and taking a chance on me.
No problem.
We want to do a general blessing on all those that are part of this congregation. I want to recognize, first of all, Pastor Vincent, as he's back there. He's from the pastors, the Milwaukee Church. Vincent, would you please stand? I'm going to have you come forward later. Yeah, just sit right there and we'll get to you. Yeah, you all know Mike and Linda, First Lady. Yeah, you all heard the story over and over. Linda didn't want to be a pastor's wife. So I knew God called her, and I just kept calling her First Lady. She said, "Why do you call me First Lady?" I said, "Because in the black churches, they often call the wife of the pastor First Lady." Well, I don't want to be first. I'm calling you it. So, yeah, that was pretty cool. Also, let's see who else is here. We're going to have several other pastoral people that aren't here this morning. Huh? Yeah, Kurt and Janet, they were with us here. They started the Four Square Church in Juneau, which is down by Beaver Dam. Yeah. And so thank you for being here. Yeah. So they were one of the very first to come to our services when it was in our duplex. And I think they were the first family, maybe, or the second. And yeah. Joel, been there from the very get-go when we were you at our, when we were in the duplex? Oh, yeah? Yeah, someone asked me, I met him, I don't know if it was you, which one of you it was. Well, Pastor, when are you going to start a church? And I said, well, I am the church. And Beth and I meet every Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. Huh? Yes, Shalom was actually one of the first there. She couldn't leave. Yeah. If it wasn't for Shlomi and Nathan, I don't know how well we would have done. Because we had to take our piano, put it down the steps from our house into the vehicle, take it to wherever we were going to go, pull it out of the vehicle, set it up, take it down, put it back in our vehicle, take it out, put it back in our house. And we did that for a long time.
And that's the piano that just left and was replaced.
Yep.
Oh, okay.
Yep. We bought that. That was top of the line in those days. We went all the way to Stevens Point to get it. Yeah. So thank you. Thank you for coming. We want to bless all of you, and then we're going to bless the eldership. And then they're going to pray over us. I think that's how it's supposed to go. That means I got to turn my key in? So, probably. Lord, I just bless all those that are here in the name of Jesus, that they would be fruitful in Jesus' name. Lord, may they just walk with you and enjoy you. May they laugh and have the humor of heaven. For it's a happy place. It's filled with the joy of music. Let us not get caught up into the ugliness of this age. People against people and fear, just fear mongers everywhere, Lord. We don't need that stuff. Lord, we are your children. We walk with you. And we give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Bless them wherever they go, according to Deuteronomy 28. In the precious name of Christ, I pray. Amen. Could I have the elders come? I found this in the office, Mike. Remember that? This says, these things you have heard from me, entrust to reliable men who will in turn be able to equip others also. 2 Timothy 2:2. You're not a man, but you'll work. I hand you my authority. You will feel it. People don't understand the weight of authority. It's something else. I can feel things before they happen. God does that because it's his authority on us. So you're going to have to make decisions you never made before. You won't know what to do. Neither do I, so get comfortable with it. Just do what he tells you to do. And you'll make the right decisions. And when it doesn't look right, it was still right. Because if God's in it, it's right. And we give him thanks for that. If you guys don't know what to do, here's the people. I don't know what God's going to do for as a pastor. I wished I did, but I don't. It could be a long time, could be a short time, I don't know. But I do know this, God will bless.
Yes.
God will bless. So could I have Mike and Linda and Randy, would you come? And Sices, would you come, please? And Brother Vincent. We'll just pray for these people. Okay, guys. Lord, we just thank you for this group. May the power of the Holy Spirit come upon them and the authority of heaven rest on them. May the weight of glory be felt and the joy of the Lord be our strength. For there is nothing like serving you, Lord. And there is no cost that we would not give. Lord, we would joyfully give. And it does cost. But the rewards are great. Heaven is going to be filled with those waiting for us. Thank you, Lord, for the power of the Holy Spirit that will be released from them to others. And for all those you're going to raise up in this body. Lord, raise up leaders. Lord, I still believe that the leaders here, we just haven't seen them. Lord, I've asked people numerous times, is it the call of God on your life? Even asked a couple who doesn't come and who didn't know you, but I led them to Christ in their living room. And I said, there's a call of God on your life, guys. There's no hope in drugs. There's only hope in Jesus. Amen. Follow what he has intended for you. Oh, Lord. If that's the couple you want, let not them sleep until they say yes. Oh, Lord, pour out your spirit.
Yes.
Pour out your spirit, Lord, and may we all be gracious enough to love those young ones to the wholeness and give them room to grow as they others have done for Beth and I. In the name of Christ, we give thanks and prayer. Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Your turn. Yeah, if you want to pray for us, this is it.